You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We continue with our special series, Undivided, exploring the 2016 merger of Marshall and Albion Schools. As we heard yesterday, the first year post-annexation was a tough adjustment for some families. But how did kids from Albion wind up in another district school in the first place? Michigan Radio's April Van Buren explains.
In May of last year, residents of Albion stepped into the voting booth. On their ballots, they saw this question: shall Albion Public Schools be annexed to Marshall Public Schools to be effective July 1st, 2016? In the months leading up to the vote, this question divided the city in a way John Taj Wallace had never seen before.
Like, you would drive through here and you would see signs pro-annexation, non-annexation, all this other stuff.
Wallace has spent his whole life in this city. He grew up just a few miles from Albion College. Now he's a sophomore there studying music education. Wallace says this community has always felt like a big extended family. But last year, the question of whether the Marshall District should annex Albion schools divided the city. And Wallace saw his tight-knit family start to fray.
You would see, like, attacks on social media. You would see people who had known each other for years, like, friends for years, just because of this one thing. Stop talking to each other. Like, in public, in grocery lines, in restaurants, no talking.
The vote to close Albion's school system was more than a year ago. But the story of why it closed, that starts a lot further back. So how did Albion Public Schools get to the point of annexation in the first place? I'm April Van Buren, and this is Undivided from Michigan Radio.
Okay, well, now we're on Orchard Drive, which is the street I reside on.
Albion City Council member Sonia Brown lives on a quiet street. It's lined with big trees and lots of ranch-style houses. Brown has lived in Albion for most of her life, and she says there is just something special about this city.
It's just rich in diversity. I mean, we have our issues. Every community does, but at the end of the day, there's a richness here that you just won't find anywhere else.
On one end of Brown City Council precinct is Irwin Avenue. It's a street with stately houses and manicured lawns. On the other end is a public housing complex. Brown spent hours walking around her neighborhood in the months leading up to annexation. She knocked on door after door and urged her neighbors to vote no. Brown says when she was growing up, Albion schools were the glue that held this diverse community together.
No matter, you know, how much money you had or where you lived, or we all grew up together, we all knew each other.
School was where everyone mingled, rich and poor, black and white. But at some point, that started to change. And for all of the controversy over annexation, there is one thing that everybody seems to agree on. The fate of Albion Public Schools can mostly be traced back to one thing: schools of choice.
And school choice in the state of Michigan, and as it happens many places, really starts with white flight.
That's Jerry Lynn Williams-Harper. She took over as superintendent of Albion Public Schools in 2012. That was nearly 20 years after Michigan passed a law that let students attend schools outside their district.
So when I got here, we had a district whose population over the last 20 years had declined 100 to 200 students steadily.
Albion was once a remarkably integrated district. 15 years ago, there was a nearly even split between white students and kids of color. But as families scattered to other districts, demographics shifted. The district became majority African American, and the percentage of students from low-income families climbed dramatically. In the Albion districts last year, 96% of students got free and reduced lunch. But middle-class families weren't moving out of Albion. They didn't have to. Their kids could just hop on one of the mini buses other districts sent into the city every day. Williams Harper remembers the newspaper headlines about her exasperation.
Williams Harper says, "Get your buses out of my district."
She met with other superintendents and begged them, "Please stop sending the buses. Stop stealing our students."
And I said, in essence, and it's not a nice word, but I said, "You're raping us. You're taking my kids. You're adding to the demise of this district."
Albion is not the only district that's seen shifting student demographics in the wake of schools of choice. Mike Wilkinson is a reporter for Bridge Magazine. About a year ago, he worked on a series of stories that looked at how those policies were changing the racial makeup of schools across the state. The bottom line? When parents use school of choice to send their kid to another district, they often end up choosing one that is more segregated. Take Holland, for instance. It's a city with a nearly even split between white and Hispanic kids. But around one out of every three students goes to school somewhere else. And the white students who leave largely end up in much whiter districts.
So you ask yourself, why are they making that switch? Is it truly a better school?
Wilkinson says it depends. In some areas, white kids staying in Holland were doing better. In some cases, the ones leaving the city were ahead.
It's not an absolute, they're going to do best if they leave.
I talked to Wilkinson on Skype. Students who live in Albion are scattered across surrounding districts. There are 42 school districts that have enrolled at least one kid from Albion at some point over the past 8 years. Here's what those schools look like in 2002, around the time Albion started bleeding students. Marshall, 94% white. Homer, 98% white. Concord, 97% white. Springport, 96% white. Marshall Academy, 97% white. Schools, 97% white. Western, 95% white. And whether it's Albion or Holland or Detroit, when students leave, they take a big chunk of money with them. Mike Wilkinson again.
Let's say 100 kids leave. Well, that district has now lost $70,000.
The school has to balance the budget, so it cuts staff, which means class sizes grow.
And then so now you got a question of, is that teacher going to be effective? So the next year, another 100 kids leave.
That same downward spiral played out in Albion again and again. And each time parents pulled their kids out, Albion was left with a higher percentage of students in poverty. The fact is, it takes more money to help students in poverty succeed. They need supports like social workers and extra classroom aides. So right as the needs of Albion students were growing, the budget to meet those needs was shrinking. Jerry Lynn Williams Harper says when she arrived in 2012, the district's finances were completely drained.
That was a huge surprise. It was sort of zero minus zero is zero.
She says they had no choice but to make some drastic changes. This is what she proposed. Starting in 2013, Albion would become a K through 8 district, and the city would send 9th through 12th graders to Marshall, one city over. Albion High School was the center of the community. It's where everyone came together for Friday night basketball games and school events. And the idea of losing that was painful. Williams Harper's plan led to heated school board meetings, protests, and rallies.
Tonight, say losing the high school is a major blow for this community.
No one came out and asked anybody in this community how they feel about this school being shut down.
I still love Albion. Albion has lost everything.
In the end, the Albion School Board voted yes. They signed a cooperative agreement with Marshall. Albion became a K-8 district. And in the fall of 2013, high schoolers in Albion started catching an early morning bus 13 miles down the highway. Williams Harper says it was the only option to keep the district financially viable.
It was still very difficult and very hurtful to this town. because I think a lot of people would feel that it was that they were sort of being sold down the river, which wasn't the case at all.
But for a lot of people who had grown up in Albion, had walked the halls of that high school, that is exactly how it felt.
So it may be the right decision to make in the end, but it's the process and the road that you took to get there determines if you're going to be fighting over this for years or not, because people didn't feel included, they didn't feel valued, they didn't feel none of that.
Harry Bonner is the head of Kids at Hope Youth Development Center, and he's been a leader in Albion for decades. Bonner says, in spite of the controversy, closing the high school was the right decision. Albion didn't have what its students needed.
Can you imagine a high school with no high school sports? That's where we were at.
The football team was gone. One girls and one boys basketball team was all Albion had left. And the school couldn't compete with programs at other larger districts.
Same thing about academic classes, the kind of academic class you need to be ready to enter college and be college ready. We didn't have those things in place.
There was hope that sending high schoolers to Marshall would save Albion schools. And for 2 years, things seemed okay. But when Albion Public Schools opened in the fall of 2015, they had lost another 100 students. And this is when things get a little chaotic. Losing 100 students meant the district's budget was hundreds of thousands of dollars short. That was on top of an already existing $3 million of debt. Art and gym and music classes were cut. Teachers started leaving the district. And so the Albion School Board made a drastic decision. They voted to send 6th through 8th graders to Marshall Middle School, starting in January 2016.
When do you move middle school students in the middle of the year? I don't know any school system that would believe that that would be the best way to transition young people. Our young people moved in January to Marshall Middle School. And to you, how did they go? Terrible.
Students in Albion had to start waking up hours earlier. Everyone at Marshall Middle School had their schedules rearranged. There was tension between students. Tension between parents and the school. And like the closing of the high school in 2013, Bonner says it was a rushed process that made people feel left out. Reverend Donald Phillips' son was in middle school in Albion at the time of the move.
I found out from my student about him telling me, oh, you know I'm going to Marshall Middle School next semester. And I'm like, what?
Really?
Yes.
You didn't get a letter?
I did not. Okay. The letter came later.
As the Phillips and other families were adjusting to this new reality, there was a bigger question hanging in the air. What was going to happen to Albion Public Schools? That question split the community. Opposing Facebook groups were formed. There were heated debates on and offline. John Taj Wallace, who you met earlier, was a senior at Marshall High School, set to graduate at the end of 2016. And he was all in for annexation.
The truth of the matter is that we needed to annex because, you know, we didn't have enough money.
He'd been going to Marshall since Albion closed its high school in 2013. And he thrived there. He was a drum major in the marching band. He ran cross country, he got great grades. So Wallace would show up at school board meetings and tell the adults, look, high school students have been going to Marshall for 3 years now. And all of those terrible things you predicted would happen, they didn't.
And I remember that there is a comment from a couple of people like, you're the black poster child of Marshall. And of course you would say that because you're going to be successful in any school district. So why does it matter for you and all this? And that was just ridiculous to me.
Adults against kids, neighbors against neighbors, friends against friends. That was the mood in Albion in the months leading up to the annexation vote in May of 2016. John Taj Wallace says he knows annexation was the right decision. But not everyone agrees.
Granted, we were struggling. I can't deny that. I won't deny that. But I still strongly believe that we could have turned things around.
That's City Council member Sonia Brown again. She was on the Albion School Board at the time. And when the board voted whether to put annexation on the ballot, she was the only one who voted no. Brown became one of the most vocal opponents to annexation. She says she remembers waiting to see the final votes come in.
We were in my living room that night. We had walked all day getting people out to vote.
And then the final numbers came back. 71% of voters had said yes. They wanted Marshall to annex Albion schools.
My heart was aching for our children, but I was so at peace because I knew I had done everything I could possibly do.
The state gave Marshall a total of $6.7 million over 2 years for the cost of annexing the Albion district. That included paying off its more than $3 million of debt, fixing up Harrington Elementary, and buying buses to get middle and high school students to and from Marshall. On July 1st, 2016, Albion Public Schools ceased to exist. But this story isn't over for Sonia Brown. She's remained a vocal critic of the way annexation has played out. Brown says students from Albion, especially students of color, still aren't getting an equitable education. And now she wants to give Albion schools a second chance. Brown and several other community members announced a plan this summer. It would give Albion residents the chance to vote on reopening the city's public schools. Kids at Hope director Harry Bonner says that is a non-starter.
Give us back our school. Really? What school are you talking about? The one that didn't have the things in place that I couldn't get a quality education? I can't believe that you're even asking that question. We didn't have the infrastructure. We didn't have none of the different things we needed to offer a quality education system for our kids. So you want us to give it back to you? We're not going to support that.
Now, more than a year after Albion residents voted to annex with Marshall Public Schools, there are still big disagreements over how to move forward. So where do Albion and Marshall go from here? And what will it mean for the students stuck in the middle? I'm April Van Buren. That's next time on Undivided from Michigan Radio.
Tomorrow, we return to Harrington Elementary, where the Marshall School District promises big changes for this year.